towards her cheek. "So you'd be willing to give it a second try?"
"Yes, I think so,"
she says, giving me a coy smile, and my cock thickens in approval. Again? Already?
Only if you want to,
she adds.
Only if I want to?
I can't keep the incredulity out of my voice. I laugh and swoop down and kiss her, hard. "Sweet, sweet Alessia," I whisper against her lips. She grins up at me, and suddenly my heart thunders. I need to know. "Was it good for you?" She blushes her not-so-innocent shade of pink.
"Yes," she whispers,
"especially at the end when I...
when you came."
I grin, and elation radiates through my chest. "Thank fuck." Her attention turns to her hands, which are still clutching the quilt, and her brow creases.
"What is it?"
I ask.
"For you,"
she says quietly.
"Was it good for you?"
I laugh. "Good." I laugh again, head held back, and I'm deliriously happy. And it's been a while since I felt that way. "Alessia, it was exceptional. That was the best fuck, sex I've had in years." "Why is that?" Her eyes widen, and she gasps in horror.
"That is a bad word, Mr. Maxim."
She tries to feign disapproval, but her eyes twinkle with mirth. I beam down at her and run my thumb over her bottom lip.
"Say Maxim."
I want to hear my name in her provocative accent again. Her cheeks redden once more.
"Say it. Say my name."
"Maxim,"
she whispers.
"Again." "Maxim."
"That's better. I think we should get you cleaned up, beautiful. I'll run us a bath." I throw off the covers and climb out of bed, and collecting the condom from the floor, I stride into the bathroom. Fuck, I feel giddy. I'm a grown man, and I'm giddy. Sex with her is better than being amped on coke, any drug, any day. I dispose of the contraceptive and turn on the taps over the bath, then add some bubble bath and watch the water turn to sweet-smelling foam. Taking one of the face cloths, I put it on the side. Gushing water fills the tub, and I marvel at the day's events. I've finally laid my daily. Normally, once I've bedded a woman, I can't wait to be alone. But that's not how I feel today. Not with Alessia. I'm still enchanted by whatever spell she's cast over me. And what's more, I get to spend this week and maybe next week with her. The prospect is exciting. My cock stirs in agreement. I glance at myself in the mirror and catch my euphoric grin. And for a moment, I don't recognize myself. What the fuck is happening to me? I run my hand through my hair in an effort to tame it and remember her blood on my hand. A virgin. I'll have to marry her now. I snort at my ridiculous thought as I wash my hands, but I wonder if any of my ancestors found themselves in that position. Two of my forebears were involved in well-documented, scandalous liaisons, but my knowledge of my family history is sketchy at best. Kit was thoroughly versed in the family's history and lineage. He paid attention. My father made sure of that. My mother made sure of that. It was all part of Kit's duties as heir. He knew that keeping the earldom intact meant everything to our family. But he's no longer here. Fuck. Why didn't I pay attention? The bath is full, and I wander back into the bedroom, feeling a little despondent. But the sight of Alessia staring at the ceiling lifts my spirits. My daily. Her expression is completely unreadable. She turns and sees me and immediately shuts her eyes.
What?
Oh, I'm naked. I want to laugh, but decide that it's probably not a good idea. So I lean against the doorframe, cross my arms, and patiently wait for her to open her eyes again. After a few moments, she pulls the bedding over her nose and peeps above it, with only one eye open. I grin. Take a good look. I spread my arms wide. She blinks, and her eyes shine with a combination of embarrassment, amusement, curiosity, and I think, a little admiration. She giggles and pulls the covers over her head.
You are teasing me.
Her voice is muffled. Yes, I am. Unable to contain myself, I saunter to the bed, and her knuckles whiten as she tightens her hold on the quilt. I lean over and brush her fingers with my lips.
Let go, I whisper,
and I'm surprised when she does. I whisk off the bedding, and she squeals, but I scoop her up into my arms and stand tall.
Now we're both naked,
I say as I nuzzle her ear. She folds her arms around my neck, and I carry her, giggling, into the bathroom and set her down beside the tub. Immediately, she covers her breasts. You don't have to be shy. I tease a strand of her hair and wind it around my index finger. You have great hair, and a great body, too. Her half-smile and timid glance tell me this is what she needs to hear. I tug gently on the strand, and she leans toward me so that I'm able to kiss her forehead. Besides, look. With my chin, I point to the picture window behind the bath. She turns, and her sharp intake of breath lets me know she loves the view. The window looks out over the cove, and at the horizon, the sun is kissing the sea in a spectacular symphony of color. Gold, opal, pink, and orange burst through the purple cloudscape and over the darkening water. It's splendid.
Sapakor.
Her voice is full of wonder.
So beautiful.
And she loosens her arms. Like you, I say, and kiss her hair. Her delicious fragrance, lavender and roses mixed with the scent of fresh sex, fills my nostrils. I close my eyes. She's more than beautiful. She's the whole package. Bright, talented, funny, and courageous. Yes, above all, courageous. My heart stutters, and suddenly I'm overwhelmed with emotion. Fuck. Swallowing hard to contain my feelings, I offer her my hand and bring her fingers to my lips. I kiss each in turn before she steps into the bath. Sit. She quickly twists her hair into a gravity-defying knot that perches on her head and sinks beneath the bubbles. She winces, and I feel a stab of guilt, but her face relaxes as she looks out at the mesmerizing sunset. I have an idea.
I'll just be a minute.
I duck out of the bathroom.
The water is deep, hot, and soothing, and the bubbles have an exotic fragrance that Alessia doesn't recognize. She examines the bottle of bath gel. It reads, Jo Malone, London, English Pear and Freesia. It smells expensive. She leans back and stares out the window, and her body gradually unwinds. The view. Wow. It's a picturesque scene. The sunset in Kukës is spectacular, but it sets behind the mountains. Here, the sun is sinking languidly into the sea, illuminating a golden path on the water. Remembering how she stumbled in the waves earlier, she smiles. How foolish she'd been. Foolish and free for a few hours at least. And now here she is in Mr. Maxim's bathroom. It's bigger than the ensuite in the guest room and has two sinks beneath ornate mirrors. She feels a momentary pang that Maxim's brother, who had built the property, could no longer enjoy it. It's a fine house. Catching sight of the washcloth, Alessia grabs it and gently washes between her thighs. The area is a little tender. She'd done it. It. On her own terms, with someone of her own choosing, someone she desires. Her mother would be shocked. Her father, she shudders to think what he might do if he knew. And she'd done it with Mr. Maxim, an Englishman, he of the startling green eyes and the face of an angel. She hugs herself, recalling how gentle and considerate he'd been, and her heart beats a little faster. He'd made her body come alive. She closes her eyes and remembers his clean scent, his fingers on her skin, the softness of his hair, his kiss, his blazing eyes full of desire. She sucks in a breath. And he wants to do it again. Her muscles tighten deep in her belly. Ah, she whispers. It's a delicious feeling. Yes, she wants to do it again too. She chuckles and hugs herself harder, trying to contain her dizzying elation. She feels no shame. This is how she's supposed to feel. This is love, isn't it? She grins and feels a little smug. Maxim reappears, carrying a bottle and two glasses. He's still naked. Champagne, he offers. Champagne. She has read about champagne, but never thought she'd experience the taste. Yes, please, she says, as she sets the washcloth aside and tries to look anywhere but at his penis. She's fascinated and embarrassed at the same time. Large, hooded, flexible, not how it was earlier. Her experience of male genitalia has been limited to works of art. It's the first time she's ever seen one in the flesh.
Here, hold these. Maxim interrupts her thoughts, and a blush steals across her face. He hands her the champagne glasses and smiles down at her. You'll get used to it, he says, and his eyes sparkle with humor.
Alessia wonders if he was referring to the champagne or his penis, which makes her blush even more. Tearing off the copper-colored foil, he twists the wire cage and pops off the cork with ease. He pours the bubbling liquid into the glasses. Alessia is surprised and delighted to see that it's pink. Putting the bottle down on the windowsill, he clambers into the opposite end of the bath and carefully sinks into the water. The foam rises to the brim. He grins, waiting for the water to spill over the side of the bath, but it doesn't. She draws up her knees as he slides his feet on either side of her. He takes a glass from her and clinks the one she holds.
To the bravest, most beautiful woman I know, thank you, Alessia DiMarchi, he says,
and he's no longer playful but deadly serious, gazing intently at her, his eyes darker, no longer sparkling. Alessia swallows in response to the pulsing deep in her belly. Gezuar, Maxim. Her voice is husky as she raises the glass to her lips and takes a sip of the chilled liquid. It's light and bubbly and tastes of fine summers and rich harvests. It's delicious. Mmm, she murmurs in appreciation.
Better than beer?
Yes, much better.
I thought we should celebrate. Two first times.
He holds up his glass, and she does the same. First times, she says, and turns to stare out the window at the setting sun. The champagne is the same color as the sky, she says in wonder, and she knows that Maxim is watching her, but he too turns to enjoy the magnificent view. So decadent, she says, almost to herself. She's bathing with a man who is not her husband, a man she's just had sex with for the first time ever, and she's drinking pink champagne. She doesn't even know his full name. A shocked giggle bubbles up from her happy place.
What? He asks. Your family name, is it Milord? Maxim's mouth drops open, and then he chuckles. Alessia pales a little and takes another sip. I'm sorry. He seems chastened. That's just no. My surname is Trevelyan. Trevelyan. Alessia repeats it a couple of times. It's a complicated name. For a complicated man? Alessia doesn't know. He doesn't seem complicated, just very different from any man she knows. Hey, Maxim says. Placing his glass on the windowsill, he grabs the soap and lathers it between his hands. Let me wash your feet. He holds out his hand. Wash my feet? Let me, he whispers when she hesitates.
Setting her glass on the sill, she tentatively places her foot in his hand, and he begins to massage the soap into her skin.
Oh.
She closes her eyes as his strong fingers work methodically over her instep, up her heel and around her ankle. He rubs the sole with just the right amount of pressure.
Ah, she moans.
When he reaches her toes, he washes each individually, then rinses them off, gently tugging and twisting each one. She squirms beneath the water and opens her eyes. His steady gaze holds hers and leaves her breathless.
Good, he asks. Yes, more than good. She sounds hoarse. Where do you feel it? Everywhere.
When he squeezes her little toe, all her muscles clench deep inside her. She gasps, and he raises her foot and, with a wicked smile, kisses her big toe.
Now the other one, he orders in a soft voice.
This time she doesn't hesitate. His fingers work their magic once more, and by the time he's finished, her entire body has turned to liquid. He kisses each toe in turn, except the smallest, which he puts into his mouth and sucks, hard.
Ah!
Her belly flutters. She opens her eyes to the same intense look, though now his lips are curled in a private smile. He kisses the ball of her foot.
Better?
She can manage only an incoherent mumble. A strange need claws at her belly.
Good. I think we should get out before the water goes cold.
He stands and with long legs steps out of the bath. Alessia shuts her eyes. She doesn't think she'll ever get used to seeing him naked, or get used to the aching, hungry sensation lingering deep, deep within her.
Come on, he says.
He has wrapped a towel around his waist and is offering her a navy robe. Feeling a little less shy, she stands and takes his hand as he helps her out of the bath. He envelops her in the robe, which is soft but far too big for her. She turns to face him, and he kisses her, properly, fully, his tongue exploring her mouth, his fingers at her nape holding her, guiding her. When he releases her, she's breathless.
I could kiss you all day, he murmurs. Tiny drops of water cling to his body like dew.
In her dazed state, Alessia wonders what they would taste like if she licked them off.
What?
She inhales sharply at her wayward thoughts. How wanton! She smiles. Perhaps she'll get used to seeing him naked.
Okay, he asks. She nods, and taking her hand, he walks her back into the bedroom, where he releases her. He picks up his jeans from the floor and drags them on. She watches wide-eyed while he towel dries his back.
Enjoying the view?
He's smirking at her. Her face is suddenly warm, but she holds his gaze. I like looking at you, she whispers. His smirk transforms into a charming, sincere smile. Well, I like looking at you too, and I'm all yours, he says. But his brow creases with uncertainty, and he looks away. He recovers quickly and pulls on his t-shirt and sweater, then swaggers toward her and caresses her cheek, his thumb brushing the line of her jaw.
You don't have to get dressed if you don't want to. I'm expecting Danny with our supper.
Oh? Danny again. Who is she? Why won't he talk about her? Leaning down, he kisses Alessia.
More champagne?
No, thank you. I will get dressed.
Oh. From her tone, I think she wants me to leave her alone while she dresses. You okay? I ask. Her small smile and nod confirm that she's fine. Good, I mumble, and return to the bathroom to collect our glasses and the Laurent Perrier. The sun has finally disappeared, shrouding the horizon in darkness. Downstairs in the kitchen, I switch on the lights and put the champagne in the fridge while I consider Alessia DiMarchi. Man, she's unexpected. She seems happier and more relaxed, but I'm not sure if it was the foot massage, the bath, the champagne, or the sex. Watching her response in the bath had been a carnal treat. When she closed her eyes and moaned as I massaged her feet, she was breathtaking. Her sexuality innate. The possibilities. For fuck's sake. I shake my head at my lascivious thoughts. I was determined to leave her alone. Determined. But when I finally surrendered to my grief, she distracted and comforted me. And I succumbed to a woman wearing SpongeBob pajamas and an old Arsenal FC shirt. I can scarcely believe it. I wonder what Kit would have made of Alessia. You're not fucking the staff, are you, Spare? No, Kit probably would not have approved of what I've done, though he would have liked Alessia. He always had an eye for a pretty girl.
This house is so warm, Alessia says, interrupting my thoughts.
She stands in front of the kitchen counter, wearing those pajama bottoms and the white top. Too warm, I ask.
No.
Good. More fizz?
Fizz?
Champagne.
Yes, please.
I retrieve the bottle from the fridge and charge our glasses once more. What would you like to do? I ask once she's taken a sip. I know what I want to do, but given she's sore, it's probably not a good idea. Maybe later tonight. Taking her glass, Alessia sits down on one of the sofas in the reading area and eyes the chess set on the coffee table. The entry phone buzzes. That will be Danny, I say, and release the latch at the entry phone. Alessia leaps up from the sofa. It's okay. There's nothing to worry about, I reassure her. Through the glass wall, I watch Danny take hesitant steps down the steep, illuminated stone stairway, carrying a white plastic crate. It looks heavy. I open the door and trot out in my bare feet to meet her halfway up the steps. Fuck! The ground's freezing. Danny, let me take that.
I've got it, Maxim. You'll catch your death of cold out here, she scolds, her expression disapproving. I mean, my lord, she adds as an afterthought.
Danny, give me the crate. I'm not taking no for an answer. Pursing her lips, she hands it to me, and I grin at her. Thank you for this.
I'll come and put it on for you.
It's fine. I'm sure I can work it out.
It would be much easier if you were up at the house, sir.
I know, I'm sorry. And thank Jessie for me.
It's your favourite. Oh, and Jessie put a spud jack in the crate for the potatoes. They've already been in the microwave, so they shouldn't take long to crisp up. Now, get inside with you. You're not wearing shoes.
She scowls while shooing me into the house. And because it's freezing, I do as I'm told. Through the full-height windows, she spies Alessia on the sofa and gives her a wave, which Alessia returns.
Thank you,
I call from the shelter of the doorway with its cozy underfloor heating. I don't introduce her to Alessia. I know it's rude, but I really want to remain in our bubble for a little longer. Introductions can happen later. Danny shakes her head, her white hair ruffled by the chilly wind, and turns to go back up the steps. I watch her ascend. She hasn't changed in all the years I've known her. This woman has tended my grazed knees, bandaged my cuts and scrapes, and iced my bruises since I was old enough to walk, always in her plaid skirt and stout shoes, never in trousers. No, I smile. It's Jessie, her partner for 12 years, who wears the trousers in that relationship. Briefly, I wonder if they're ever going to marry. It's been legal for long enough. They have no excuse.
Who is that?
Alessia asks and peeks into the crate.
That's Danny. I told you, she lives near here, and she's brought our supper.
I retrieve the casserole dish from inside the crate. There are 4 large potatoes, and my mouth waters when I spot the banoffee pie.
Man, Jessie can cook.
The stew needs heating, and we can have it with baked potatoes. Sound okay?
Yes, it is very okay.
Very okay?
Yes,
she blinks.
My English
is great, I answer,
and grinning, I brandish the spiked potato baker from the crate.
I can do that,
she says, though she looks a little doubtful. No, I'll do it. I rub my hands together. I'm feeling domestic this evening, and trust me, it doesn't happen often, so take advantage. Alessia arches a brow, amused, as if she's seeing me in an entirely new light. I hope it's a good thing. Here, in one of the cupboards, I find an ice bucket. You can fill this with ice. The fridge in the scullery dispenses ice. It's for the champagne. A glass or two later, Alessia is curled up on one of the turquoise sofas, her feet tucked beneath her, watching me while I finish putting the stew in the oven. Do you play? I ask, as I come and sit beside her. Alessia's eyes flick to the marble chess set and back to me, her expression unreadable.
A little, she says, and takes a sip of her drink.
A little, eh? It's my turn to raise an eyebrow. What does she mean? Without taking my eyes off her, I grab a white pawn and a grey one and shuffle them between my cupped hands and offer them to her in my fists. She licks her top lip and deliberately traces her index finger over the back of one hand. A tremor runs from my hand up my arm and directly to my dick. Wow.
This one,
she says, looking up at me through inky lashes. I shift in my seat, trying to bring my body under control, and turn up my palm. It's the grey pawn. Black. I turn the board so that the grey chess pieces are in front of her. Okay, I'll start. Four moves in, and I'm dragging my hands through my hair. As usual, you've been holding out on me, haven't you? My tone is wry. Alessia bites her top lip in an effort to suppress her smile and looks serious. But her eyes are alive with amusement as she watches me struggle to outmaneuver her. Of course she can play like an ace. Man, she is full of surprises. I scowl in the hope that it'll intimidate her into making a mistake. Her smile broadens, lighting up her beautiful face, and I can't help my answering grin. She is stunning. You're rather good at this, I observe. She shrugs.
There is not much to do in Cuckoo's. At home we have an old computer, but no games consoles and clever phones. Piano, chess and books and some TV, that is what we have.
She glances at the bookshelf at the end of the room, her eyes full of appreciation. Books?
Oh yes, many, many books. In Albanian and English. I wanted to be an English teacher.
She studies the board for a moment, all humor gone. Now she's a cleaner on the run from sex trafficking thugs. But you enjoy reading?
Yes, she brightens. Especially in English. My grandmother smuggled books into the country.
You mentioned that. It sounds risky.
Yes, it was dangerous for her. Books in English were banned by the communists.
Banned? Once again, I realize that I know very little about her homeland.
Dude, concentrate.
I take her knight, feeling smug. But one glance at her face tells me she's hiding her smirk. She slides her rook left 3 squares and chuckles.
Check.
Shit. Okay, our first and last game of chess, I grumble as I shake my head in self-disgust. This is like playing Marianne. She always beats me. Alessia tucks her hair behind her ear, takes another sip of champagne, and twirls her gold cross with her fingers. She's thoroughly enjoying herself, thrashing me. It's a humbling moment.
Concentrate.
3 moves later, she has me.
Checkmate,
she says, assessing me intently, and her solemn expression steals my breath away. Well played, Alessia De Marchi, I whisper as desire heats my blood. You're very good at this. She glances at the board, breaking the spell. When she raises her head, she gives me a coy smile.
I played chess with my grandfather since I am 6 years. He was, how do you say, a demon player, and he wanted to win, even against a child.
He taught you well, I murmur, recovering my equilibrium.
What I really want to do is take her right here on the sofa. I consider pouncing on her, but concede that we should eat first. Is he still alive? I ask.
No, he died when I am 12 years.
I'm sorry.
He had a good life.
You say you wanted to be an English teacher. What happened?
My university closed. They had no money, and my courses stopped.
Well, that sucks. She giggles.
Yes, it sucks. But I like working with little children, and I teach them music and read English to them, but only for 2 days each week, as I am not, what is the word? Qualified. And I help my mother at home.
Another game? She asks. I shake my head. I think my ego might need some time to recover before we do that again. Are you hungry? She nods. Good. That stew smells amazing, and I'm starving. Beef stew with prunes is my favorite of all Jessie's dishes. She used to cook it for winter shoots on the estate when Kit, Marianne, and I were pressed into service as beaters, driving the birds toward the guns. The aroma is tantalizing. After all our activities today, I'm famished. Alessia insists on dishing up, and I let her do that while I set the table. Surreptitiously, I watch her as she busies herself in the kitchen. Her movements are neat and elegant. She has an intrinsic, sensuous grace, and I wonder if she's ever been a dancer. When she turns, her glorious hair spills down around her elfin face, and with a delicate flick of her wrist, she flips it out of the way. Her long, slender fingers hold the knife as she slices open the baked potatoes, releasing wisps of steam. With her brow fixed in concentration, she spreads butter on them, and she stops to lick some melted butter from her index finger. My groin tightens. Oh, sweet Lord. She glances up and catches me watching her.
What is it? She asks.
Nothing. My voice is gruff. I clear my throat. I just like looking at you. You're quite lovely. I move quickly and fold her in my arms, taking her by surprise. I'm glad you're here with me. My lips meet hers in a quick, loving kiss.
I am glad too, she says with a shy smile. Maxim?
My face splits in two. I love hearing my name in her accent. I grab our plates. Let's eat.
The beef and prune stew is aromatic, sweet, and tender. Mmm, Alessia murmurs, closing her eyes in appreciation. Ishishum.
Is that Albanian for I hate this? Maxim asks. She giggles.
No, it's delicious. Tomorrow I will cook for you.
Do you? He asks.
Cook?
Alessia places her hand on her heart, affronted.
Of course, I am an Albanian woman. All Albanian women cook.
Okay, we'll go shopping tomorrow for ingredients. His grin is infectious, but as he regards her, his face grows more serious.
One day, he says, will you tell me the whole story?
Story? Her heart begins to thud. Of how and why you came to England.
Yes, one day, she says.
One day,
one day, one day. Her heart skips a beat. Those two words imply a tangible future with this man.
Don't they?
But as what?
Alessia is confused about how men and women interact in England. It's different in Cucas. She's seen enough American TV shows, when her mother wasn't monitoring what she was watching. And in London, she's seen how free and easy men and women are in public together, kissing, talking, holding hands. And she knows that these couples are not married. They are lovers. Maxim holds her hand. They talk. He makes love to her. Lovers. Surely that's what she and Mr. Maxim are now. Lovers. Hope stirs in her heart, and it's a rousing but scary sensation. She loves him. She should tell him. But she's too shy to declare herself, and she doesn't know how he feels about her.
but she knows she would walk to the end of the earth for him.
Would you like dessert? He asks. Alessia pats her stomach. I am full.
It's banoffee pie.
Banoffee? Bananas, toffee, and cream. She shakes her head. No, thank you.
He takes their empty plates to the kitchen counter and returns with a slice of banoffee pie. Sitting down, he places the plate on the table and takes a bite.
Mmm, he says with exaggerated appreciation.
You are teasing me. You want me to want your dessert, she says.
I want you to want a great many things. Right now it's dessert. Maxim smirks and licks his lips.
With his fork, he scoops up a small piece smothered in cream and offers it to her.
Eat, he whispers, his voice seductive and his heated stare mesmerizing. In response, she parts her lips and accepts the mouthful.
Oh, zoti math.
She closes her eyes and savors the confection as it dissolves. It's a sweet slice of heaven. When she focuses on him again, he's smiling with an I-told-you-so grin. He presents her with another, larger piece. This time she opens her mouth without hesitating. But he pops it into his own mouth, grinning with mischief as he chews. She laughs. He is so playful. She pouts, and he rewards her with a wicked grin and another bite of pie. His eyes stray to her lips as he gently wipes the corner of her mouth with his index finger.
You missed this, he murmurs, holding up his cream-smeared finger.
Gone is his humor. It's replaced by a darker, simmering look. Alessia's pulse thrums faster, and she doesn't know if it's the champagne that's making her bolder or his scorching gaze, but she surrenders to her instincts. Leaning in toward his finger and with her eyes on his, she licks the cream off with the tip of her tongue. Maxim closes his eyes and a low hum of appreciation rumbles in his throat. Emboldened by his reaction, she licks again, then kisses the tip before gently teasing it with her teeth. Maxim's eyes fly open and she closes her lips around his finger and sucks hard. He tastes clean, male. Maxim's mouth drops open. Alessia continues to suck, watching his pupils dilate as his eyes linger on her mouth. His response is arousing. Who knew she had the power to stir him? It's a revelation. She scrapes her teeth against the pad of his finger, and he groans.
Screw the pie, he says, almost to himself, and he withdraws his finger slowly from her mouth.
He clasps her head and kisses her, his tongue going the way of his finger. Wet, hot, exploring and claiming her, Alessia responds immediately, her fingers twisting in his hair and hungrily kissing him back. He tastes of banoffee pie and Maxim. It's a heady mix.
Bed or chess, he murmurs against her lips.
Again, yes. A thrill travels at light speed through her body. Bed.
Good answer.
He caresses her cheek, brushing his thumb across her bottom lip and smiles, his eyes alight with sensual promise. Taking each other's hand, they walk upstairs. On the threshold of the bedroom, he flips the wall switch so that only the bedside lamps illuminate the room. He turns unexpectedly and kisses her, his hands on each side of her face as he backs her against the wall. Her heart begins to pound as he presses his body along the length of hers. He wants her. She can feel him.
Touch me, he breathes. Everywhere. And his lips are on hers again, possessive and needy, coaxing a moan from deep in her throat. Yes, let me hear you.
His hands slide down to her waist. She splays her hands on his chest while his lips continue to savor her mouth. When he releases her, they are both panting. He rests his forehead against hers,
their breath mingling, both of them straining for air.
What you do to me.
His voice is as soft as a spring breeze. He looks down at her, the longing in his eyes burning into her soul. He grips the hem of her top and pulls it over her head. She's naked beneath, and her natural inclination is to cover her breasts. But he catches her hands and grips them, keeping his eyes on hers.
You're stunning. Don't hide.
He kisses her again while interlacing his fingers with hers so they are palm to palm. Holding her still, he continues the sweet invasion of her mouth. When she pulls away for air, he kisses her throat, her jaw, and his teeth skim her chin before he plants large, wet kisses on the pulse point at her neck. Her blood drums through her body with a reckless beat. Inside, she's melting everywhere. She flexes her fingers, but he doesn't let them go.
Do you want to touch me? He asks against her throat. She groans. Tell me.
Yes, she whispers, and he tugs her earlobe gently with his teeth. Squirming against him, she moans and flexes her fingers again. This time he releases her, and his hands grab her hips and tug her against his erection.
Feel me, he murmurs. She does, all of him, ready, waiting for her. Her heart stutters and she gasps. He wants her. And she wants him.
Undress me, he coaxes, and her fingers find the hem of his t-shirt. Hesitating for only a moment, she drags it up and over his head. Once she's dropped his clothes on the floor, he puts his hands on his head.
Now, what are you going to do with me? He asks,
and a pleased, sexy smile curls his lips. Alessia inhales, overwhelmed by his bold invitation, as her eyes flit over his body. Her fingers are itching to touch him, to feel his skin beneath hers.
Go on, he whispers, a seductive challenge in his voice.
She wants to touch his chest, his stomach, his belly. She wants to kiss him there, too. The thought elicits a strange, delicious tightening deep inside her. Hesitantly, she raises her hand, and with her index finger, she traces a line from his chest down between his abdominal muscles to his navel. His eyes never leave hers, his breath hitches, and she continues skating her finger down over his belly, through the hair to the top button of his jeans. Her courage deserts her, and she hesitates. Maxim grins and grabs her hand, raising it to his lips and kissing her fingertips. He turns it over and places his lips and the tip of his tongue on the inside of her wrist where her blood is pumping. He circles his tongue deliberately over her pulse, and Alessia gasps. With a smile, he releases her and clasps her head. His lips find hers once more, and he explores her mouth. She's panting when he lets her go.
My turn, he says,
and with infinite care and a feather-light touch, he trails his index finger between her breasts, down her stomach, to her navel, which he rings twice before proceeding to the waistband of her PJs. Alessia's heart starts thumping, echoing in an insane rhythm in her head. Suddenly, he kneels down in front of her.
What?
She grabs his shoulders to stay upright. His hands move around to her behind as he kisses the underside of each breast and trails soft, sweet kisses to her navel. Ah, she groans, as his tongue rims and dips into her belly button. She runs her fingers through his hair, and he looks up at her and gives her a wicked grin. With his hands on her behind, he sits back on his haunches and pulls her forward, holding her in place, and runs his nose up her sex.
Wah!
Alessia exclaims in shock. She tightens her fingers in his hair, and he groans.
You smell good,
he whispers, and she gasps. His hands slip into the waistband of her PJs and cup her bare backside, kneading her flesh as he rubs his nose over her clitoris, on and on.
This is not what she was expecting. The sight of him on his knees at her feet, doing what he's doing to her body, is too stimulating. She closes her eyes, tips her head back, and moans. His hands shift, and she feels her PJs gliding down her legs. Zot. His nose stays at the apex of her legs. Maxim, she cries, scandalized, and she tries to pull his head away. Hush, he murmurs. It's okay. And his tongue replaces his nose as he resists her feeble attempts to stop him. Ah, Alessia moans as he continues to tease her, his tongue circling around and around and around. She stops fighting him, losing herself to the sensation and reveling in the carnal delight of his touch. Her legs begin to tremble, and Maxim grasps her hips and persists in his delicious torment. Please, she begs, and he stands in one fluid movement. She clutches his hips, and he kisses her again, his hands in her hair pulling her head back, and she opens up for him, relishing his tongue. He tastes different. Salty, slick, and she realizes he tastes of her. Oh, Perendi! His mouth on hers, his hand skims down her body, his thumb brushing over her nipple, tracing the line of her waist, then down to the junction of her thighs. His fingers tease her where moments before his tongue had been, and he slips a finger inside her. Quivering and driven by instinct, she presses her hips toward him, trying to find relief against his hand. Yes, he hisses with obvious pleasure as he circles his finger inside her, pushing in and out. When she tips her head back and closes her eyes, he withdraws his hand and tugs at his jeans. The zipper obliges, and out of his back pocket he produces a condom. He makes short work of removing his jeans, and Alessia watches, dazed but fascinated, as he rips open the packet and rolls the condom over his erection. She's breathing hard and fast, but she wants to touch him. There. Except she doesn't have the nerve. Yet. And they're not even in bed. What is he going to do? He kisses her again and puts his hands around her waist. Hold on. He whispers, and he lifts her. Wrap your legs and arms around me. What, again? She does as he asks, surprised once more by her own agility, while he puts his hands under her behind and leans her back against the wall. He's panting. You okay? He asks. She nods, wide-eyed and needy. Her body aches for him. She wants him, badly. He kisses her and eases his hips forward and slowly sinks into her. She groans and winces as he stretches and fills her. He stops. Too much, he asks, and she hears his concern. Tell me. His voice is urgent. If you want to stop, just say. She flexes her thighs. This is okay. She can do this. She wants this. She lays her forehead against his. More, please. He groans and he begins to move, flexing his hips. Slow at first, but as Alessia pants and moans, he increases his rhythm. She tightens her hold around his neck as he picks up speed. The feeling is intense as the sensation spirals through her body, and she starts to build as he moves and moves. Oh, no. This is too much. It's too overwhelming. She digs her nails into his shoulders. Maxim, Maxim, she whimpers. I can't. Immediately he stops moving, his breathing ragged. He kisses her and takes a deep breath, and without breaking their intimate contact, he turns and walks to the bed. He sits down on the bed, then eases her gently onto her back and gazes at her with eyes the color of a forest in spring, his pupils large, betraying his need. Reaching up, she caresses his cheek, marveling at his athleticism. Better? He asks,
as he nestles between her legs and holds his weight on his forearms.
Yes, she whispers, and her fingers thread through his soft hair.
His teeth nip at her lips, and he begins to move again, gradually at first, but increasing his speed.
This is easier, not quite as deep, and before she's aware of it, her body is no longer her own, but moving to Maxim's rhythm, matching his pace as he moves back and forth into her time and again. She's lost in him, with him, building and building, stiffening and stiffening.
Yes, Maxim hisses, and he pushes once more and suddenly stills with a growl. Alessia cries out as she explodes around him once, twice, again, spiraling out of control beneath his tense body.
When she opens her eyes, his forehead is against hers, his eyes screwed shut.
Oh, Alessia, he breathes. After a moment, he opens his eyes, and she strokes his cheek as they gaze at each other.
He is so dear, so, so dear.
Te dua, she whispers.
What does that mean? She smiles, and he responds in kind, his face full of wonder and reverence, maybe.
He bends and kisses her lips, her eyelids, her cheeks, her jaw, and slowly eases himself out of her. Alessia whimpers, feeling the loss. Then she drifts, replete but exhausted, and falls asleep in his arms.
She lies curled up beside me, swaddled in the quilt. Small, vulnerable, beautiful. This young woman who has been through so much is now here beside me, where I can protect her. I stretch out, watching the steady rise and fall of her chest, her lips parted as she breathes, her dark lashes fanned out over her cheeks. Her skin is fair, her lips rosy. She's gorgeous, and I know that I will never tire of looking at her. I'm enthralled and spellbound by her. She's magical in every way. I've had sex too many times to count, but I've never felt this connected. It's a foreign and unsettling feeling, as is my yearning for more. I brush a stray lock of hair off her forehead, simply as an excuse to touch her. Alessia stirs and mumbles something in Albanian, and I freeze, afraid that I've woken her. But she settles once more into a peaceful sleep, and I remember that she'll fear the dark should she wake. Careful not to disturb her, I climb out of bed and hurry downstairs to retrieve the nightlight I purchased earlier. I fit the batteries, switch it on, and place it on the bedside table next to Alessia. Should she wake, she won't be in darkness. Slipping back under the covers, I lie down and study her. She's lovely. The curve of her cheek, of her chin, the way that tiny gold cross nestles in the hollow at the base of her throat. She's exquisite. She looks young but serene as she sleeps. Taking a strand of her hair, I wind it around my finger. I hope to God she's feeling safer now, and that her dreams aren't the nightmares she endured yesterday. She sighs, and her lips curl in a smile. Her expression is encouraging. I gaze at her until I can no longer keep my eyes open, and before I drift off to sleep, I murmur her name. Alessia. Chapter 16. I sense her before I'm fully awake. The warmth of her body seeps into mine. Enjoying the feel of her skin on my skin, I open my eyes to greet the misty morning and the lovely Alessia. She's fast asleep and curled around me like a fern, her hand on my belly, her head on my chest. My arm is wrapped possessively around her shoulders, holding her close, and she's naked. I grin as my body rouses. What a difference a day makes. I lie for a moment, cherishing her heat and the fragrance of her hair. She shifts and mumbles something unintelligible, and her eyelids flutter open. Good morning, beautiful, I whisper. This is your early morning wake-up call. And I ease her onto her back.
She blinks a couple of times as I kiss the tip of her nose and nuzzle the pulse point beneath her ear, and she beams and throws her arms around my neck as my hand travels down to her breast. The sun is shining. The air is crisp and cold. No diggity blares over the sound system as I drive up the A39 toward Padstow. I've ruled out going to Sunday service. There'll be too many people at the local parish church who know me. Once I've told Alessia who I am and what I do, then maybe. I glance at her as her heels bounce in time to the music. She flashes me a quick, crotch-tightening grin. Man, she is captivating. Her smile lights up the Jag's interior and me. I give her a wicked smile in return, remembering this morning and last night. She tucks her wild hair behind her ear, and an innocent blush steals across her cheeks. Perhaps she's thinking about this morning too. I hope so. I see her, a vision in my bed, head tipped back in ecstasy, her mouth open as she cries out and comes, her hair spilling over the edge of the bed. My blood heads south at the thought. Yeah, she seemed to enjoy it. She seemed to enjoy it very much. Shifting in my seat at the memory, I reach across to squeeze her knee. You okay? I ask. She nods, her deep brown eyes sparkling. Me too. I take her hand, bring it to my lips, and give her a grateful kiss on her palm. I feel buoyant. More than buoyant. I'm elated. I'm happier than I've been since Kit died. No, since before Kit's death. And I know it's because I'm with Alessia. I'm intoxicated with her. But I don't dwell on my feelings. I don't want to. They are new and raw and a little unsettling. I've never felt like this. Truth is, I'm excited. I'm going shopping with a woman, and I'm looking forward to it. Is this a first? But I suspect it will be a battle with Alessia. She's proud. Maybe it's an Albanian characteristic. At breakfast, she was adamant that I couldn't buy her any new clothes. But she's sitting beside me in her only pair of jeans, the thin, greying white top, her leaky boots, and my sister's old jacket. This is a fight she's not going to win. I park in the spacious car park by the quay. She's curious, peering through the windscreen at our surroundings. Want to look around? I ask, and we climb out of the car. It's a picture postcard scene. Antiquated houses and cottages built of grey Cornish stone line the small harbour, where a few fishing boats are moored up, idle, because it's a Sunday. This is a good view, Alessia says. She's huddled in her coat, and I stretch my arm around her shoulders and hold her to me. Let's go and get you some warm clothes, I offer with a smile, but she immediately steps out of my embrace. Maxim, I cannot pay for new clothes. It's my treat. Treat? She frowns. Alessia, you have nothing. This is very easy for me to put right. Please, let me. I want to. It is not right. Says who? She taps her finger to her lips, and it appears that this is not an argument she's considered. Me, I say, she answers eventually. I sigh. They are a gift for all your hard work. They are a gift because I have sexual intercourse with you. What? No! I laugh, appalled and amused in equal measure. I quickly scan the key to check no one can hear us. I offered to buy you clothes before the sex, Alessia. Come on, look at you, you're freezing. And I know your boots leak. I've seen your wet footprints in my hallway. She opens her mouth to speak. I hold up my hand to stop her. Please, I insist. It would give me great pleasure. She purses her lips, unimpressed. I try a different tack. I'm going to buy them for you anyway, whether you're there or not, so you can come with me and choose something you like, or leave it to me. She folds her arms. Fuck. Alessia DiMarchi has a stubborn streak. Please, for me, I beseech her, holding out my hand. She glares at me, and I give her my very best smile. Then she sighs, resigned, I think, and puts her hand in mine. Yes.
Mr. Maxim is right. She needs clothes.